attendance for Representative Lynn, Representative Coghill, Representative Ramris, Representative Dahlstrom, Representative Holmes. It's 10 minutes past one. It's our pleasure to have Senator Thomas and Mr. Hardenbrook here for Senate Joint Resolution Number 10. Very nice to see you, sir. Come on forward, fellas. Give us your best shot.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Senator Joe Thomas, District D, Fairbanks area, Denali Borough, Fairbanks North Star Borough. Senate Joint Resolution 10, yeah, there we go, is protects the right to keep and bear arms is one of the rights, as one of the rights most cherished by Alaskans. Our history and culture is tightly bound to our outdoor and sporting heritage. SJR 10 calls for passage of federal legislation that recognizes and protects Alaska's traditions. Federal passage of the Respecting States' Rights and Concealed Carry Reciprocity Act would establish a nationwide reciprocity agreement for the carrying of concealed weapons, firearms. It is a simple bill. Nationwide reciprocity would allow a citizen who is permitted to carry a concealed firearm in their own state to do so in other states with similar laws. Individuals must follow the laws of the host state wherever they're traveling to, including laws concerning specific locations where firearms may not be carried. Additionally, any individual prohibited by federal law from carrying a firearm will continue to be prohibited under the bill. Currently, many states offer reciprocity agreements to other states with similar concealed carry laws. However, these agreements can change or lapse. For instance, North Dakota recently passed or phased out their training requirement for the concealed carry licensing process. This resulted in the lapse of several reciprocity agreements between North Dakota and other states. Such shifting agreements can make it difficult for a bearer of a concealed firearm to keep track of which states offer reciprocity. Provisions in the law ensure that residents of the state of Alaska and Vermont, which have unique concealed carry laws, are not prohibited from enjoying the same rights as those residents from states with more common conceal and carry laws. I urge your continued support of the Second Amendment rights of Alaskans and urge your support of this resolution.
Senator Thomas, I am in awe of how eloquent you have become here in your last several years in the legislature. Frankly, your testimony blew me away. What can I do to help?
Yeah, you can rapidly pass this resolution as it's been through the Senate, obviously, and is on this side. And I'm not sure what the next referral is.
This is the sole committee of referral.
Oh, okay.
Good. On the House side.
What a distinct honor, and that was Mr. Hardenbrook for. Susan. Is there any discussion on SJR 10? I see no discussion around the table. Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wish to move Senate Joint Resolution Number 10, Version A, with attached zero physical note and individual recommendations from committee.
Thank you. So without objection, SJR 10 passes from committee. You picked up a couple of House co-sponsors. Would you like a cookie? Is there anything that we can do for either of you gentlemen on your way out of the room?
Not that I can think of.
No. All right. Do you want to stay with us? Is there any other subject this afternoon that is of importance to you, Senators? Is there anything we can do for you at all?
My older
not
ego
that I can
here.
Think of. We got a finance meeting at 1:30 and HSS at 1:30.
You can hang out with us for 15 minutes if you'd like. If there's, we have a sofa in back if you want to.
I appreciate that, but I think I better get up and find out what's been taking place for the last couple hours in my office as well.
Thank you very much. It was a privilege to have you here.
Thank you. Appreciate your help.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Next up, we have House Bill
213.
And is there somebody here from the governor's office to present this?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the Judiciary Committee. For the record, my name is Guy Bell. I'm the Assistant Commissioner of the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. And also with me is Tom Nelson, who is the Director of the Division of Employment Security in the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. And just a brief introduction, if I could, Mr. Chairman, and Mr. Nelson has some more detailed but brief testimony. This legislation has been introduced by a request of the governor. It is required compliance legislation to meet the requirements of the Federal Unemployment Tax Act. It's a basic compliance legislation, and I'll pass the gap of the microphone to Tom Nelson, who will walk the committee through the bill.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Tom Nelson, the director of the Employment Security Division. Alaska is part of a nationwide unemployment insurance system, and our state has agreed to operate its program in conformity with federal law, specifically 26 U.S. Code 3304, and regulations for the administration of the unemployment insurance program. In order to be in compliance with the current Federal Unemployment Insurance Tax Act, we must now cover services performed by employees of tribal entities and must give federally recognized tribal entities the choice to become reimbursable employers for the payment of unemployment insurance taxes. We've always covered the employment of services performed by employees of federally recognized tribal entities. Currently, only those listed on the U.S. Department of Interior list of Native entities eligible for services from the United States Bureau of Indian Affairs are to be offered this choice. There are a total of 229 Alaska Native entities which are listed on the latest Federal Register dated April 2008. If the organization chooses the reimbursable method, they will be subject to more stringent rules, such as having to pay 100% of unemployment insurance benefits and 100% of extended benefits, and are going to be under additional scrutiny for late payments and are required to post a surety bond. Because of this, it may not benefit the Native organization to select this option, but the department is prepared to work with each and every one of them one-on-one to lay out the tax history and current tax rate that each employer has and let them make informed choices. If the state law conforms to federal requirements, employers in the state will continue to receive a 5.4% Federal Unemployment Tax Act credit, which today's dollars is valued at approximately $111 million annually. Also, the state will continue to receive its annual base fund to administer the unemployment insurance program, and it's valued at approximately $20 million. If the chairman and the committee wishes, I can provide a sectional briefing, section by section, if you'd like. Or answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Why are we seeing this so late in the session? Is this...
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we actually had this prepared before the beginning of the legislative session, and we had to modify it several times because we had to make sure it met federal scrutiny. And that's it's been in many places before it finally got into the form of a bill.
And when is this necessary to be enacted in order to enjoy the compliance?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, as it states, we'd like it to take place immediately upon enactment.
Just on that point, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Kaka?
Is there a Senate version traveling as well?
Through the chair, Representative Coghill, yes, there was a bill introduced in the Senate, and it has been combined into a separate piece of legislation that I believe passed the Senate this morning. But the administration, I must point out, supports this as a standalone provision.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative
Kaka. On that point, was the other the modification of laws required under the federal whatever the federal
money
was? Yeah, Stimulus Act. Thank you. Brain dead today.
Through the chair, Representative Kaka. Yes, that's correct. There was a the component that was added to Senate bill that this provision was added to in Senate Bill 170 was a component that would enable the state to comply with the Stimulus Act, but that is not a component that the administration supports.
Mr. Chairman?
Just Representative Coghill.
This is because I'm the Rules Chairman, not because I'm on the Judiciary Chair. Where did that get sent to? Did it get read across today? Or did it just pass this morning?
Through the Chair, Representative Coghill, it just passed this morning.
Okay. My guess is, Mr. Chairman, that'll end up in the Finance Committee because of the federal component.
So that it will get I agree, it'll get a further referral to the Finance Committee. Gentlemen, has there been any opposition to this from anyone, or is it pretty much just a housekeeping to update our records? I'm trying to understand how far back have we been out of compliance?
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, to my understanding, we've been out of compliance for several years. It is primarily housekeeping from the perspective of the unemployment insurance program. It's merely a method to register federally recognized entities as a way to pay their taxes. It doesn't give them any unfair business advantage, and it's essentially adding and clarifying the definitions of employer in order to accomplish that.
Does this increase the tax burden on any of these 219 entities? Does it create a tax penalty for any of these 219 entities? Is it completely neutral to the tax code? Does it return money to these entities or to the state?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, no. It doesn't affect their current rate of tax. They can still choose to become or to be contributory employers as they are now. And the analysis that we've done thus far shows that the majority of them would benefit remaining that way. Again, the reimbursable employer has to pay 100% of benefits, whereas a contributory employer today only pays 76% of that tax burden, and the remainder is borne by the employee's contributions.
Fellas, I'm an employer, so I'm trying to get with you, but this is so vanilla that maybe I'm missing it. Does it do anything? Is it completely neutral? Is it just compliant? Does any money actually transfer hands from one entity to another entity? I'm just trying to understand what this does. I don't have a problem with it. I'm just trying to find a point of entry, like looking at a freeway, and you're trying to figure out, I want to be on that freeway, but I can't find out where the on-ramp is. And so right now I see your freeway, but I don't see where the on-ramp is to understanding for me. So it's, I'm not trying to be combative. I'm just trying to understand what this does.
Mr. Chairman, Guy Bell, Assistant Commissioner. It is completely neutral from the tax collection perspective. And I don't want to give you too long an answer, but just I'll try to keep it brief from my perspective, and I don't have the expertise that Tom Nelson has, sure. But just from my layperson's perspective, the unemployment insurance program is supported entirely by employers and employees. Okay. And for the state of Alaska, the trust is maintained by the federal government, and taxes are paid into that trust to keep that fund solvent. We administer the program, but it's based on federal laws, and this is a federal compliance component. There's two methods of paying your unemployment insurance. One is through a tax, which is applicable to private employers and in most other entities. The other one is to be a reimbursable employer, which effectively means if you choose to become a reimbursable employer, you become self-insured. Okay. In other words, you reimburse the system for actual benefit payments that are made for employees that last worked for you.
Okay. Do we have any self-insured employers other than the state of Alaska in the state?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we do. Local political subdivisions and also private nonprofits are also reimbursable.
Okay. All right, so municipality of Anchorage, Fairbanks, North Star Borough, municipality of Juneau, what private nonprofits would be self-insured?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, examples of that type of employer would include CERC here in Southeast and maybe Nine Star Enterprises in Anchorage, ALPA in Fairbanks, those that provide a public service of some kind, adult basic education, GED testing, tribal vocational rehabilitation, those types of services.
Right, and so they are self-insured?
Mr. Chairman, just to clarify, they have the option to be self-insured.
Option.
A number of these employers may not choose to be self-insured because once an employer becomes self-insured, the employer is liable for 100% of the cost of the benefits. Okay. And under the tax rate scheme, the employee and the employer share in that taxation by legislation. So there is actually, it's actually, depending on the rate and generally speaking, less expensive. It can often be less expensive for an employer to go on to a tax rate rather than to be reimbursable.
Okay. So this says that if Alaska was decertified, Alaska employers would lose approximately $111 million in annual federal tax credits. What do we get federal tax credits for?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we get tax credits for being compliant with federal law.
Which employers?
I beg your pardon?
Which employers? All employers, or is this a select group of employers?
All contributory employers.
And then this specifically just deals with, I'm looking at yours, the equivalent of your sponsor statement, I guess. It says, we must now cover services performed by employees of tribal entities and must give federally recognized tribes the choice to become reimbursable employers for the payment of UI taxes. Do we have any federally recognized tribes?
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, yes. The 229 are listed in the Federal Register, are Alaskan employers. And it also includes any wholly owned subsidiaries of theirs also.
So what would, I don't think we were offered a list of the 200, or do we have a list of the 219 reimbursable entities, or could you just list off just a handful of them just as example?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Oh, I think you do have a list of them.
Certainly, we have a list.
Oh, no, this is this federal list because it's got Ottawa, Michigan, and Federal Register.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, toward the back of that same list is the actual, we've got that on page.
The Federal Register.
Federal Register beginning on page 18556.
I see.
It starts on the right-hand column.
Yeah. I see. Where it says Native entities within the state of Alaska recognized and eligible to receive services from the United States Bureau of Indian Affairs.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
So what is the disposition of those 219 entities? First of all, if we don't come into compliance with them, they could disqualify all Alaskan employers, and that's the $111 million. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that's correct. They would continue to be contributory employers and essentially pay up front at a rate that is based on their experience of turnover of employees.
Right. That part I understand. So what I'm just trying to connect the data points on this piece of legislation. So because we have not conformed these 211 federally recognized tribal entities, it threatens the whole FUTA system for all private Alaska employers. Is that the nature of the conformity? Because surely the $111 million of exposure doesn't accrue just to these 219 tribal entities.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that's correct.
Okay.
We run that risk.
Okay. So the non-conformity with this group, with this 229 entities, threatens to undermine the whole FUTA system. So we're trying to create the conformity amongst them in order to protect the whole FUTA system for all Alaskan employers so that they don't lose. In your sponsor letter says, if Alaska was decertified, Alaska employers would lose approximately $111 million in annual federal tax credits. So am I connecting the dots now? Your guy's nodding his head, but we're not picking that up on the record. So,
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Okay. So that is the housekeeping component, is that we are bringing the federally recognized tribes under the FUTA system in a contributory capacity rather than the other language that you used, and that allows Alaska to conform and therefore not be decertified, and therefore we don't threaten all the Alaska employers presently.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Okay, and what was the other language you used? It was contributory and the other?
Reimbursable method.
Reimbursable. So right now they're reimbursable, and this brings them to the contributory standard, or I have it backwards?
Mr. Chairman, you have it backwards. They are currently contributory, and this gives them the option to apply for reimbursable status.
And that's a unique relationship between these tribal entities and the FUTA program.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Does that satisfy the curiosity committee? I was a little bit curious myself. Is anybody else curious? Did we unravel?
I had good questions.
Was that helpful for folks? Do we have it?
Yep.
Do we got it?
Mr. Chairman, Guy Bell, Assistant Commissioner, yes, and thank you for the clarification.
Okay. So Representative Cargill, I don't think that this raises the same hackles that were up earlier this morning with tribal issues that related to, does it?
No, Mr. Chairman, I think the federally recognized tribal issue has some qualifying language in the Federal Registry that actually speaks specifically to Alaska, and so it's pretty well established, whereas the other one was not so well established, and that was my caution on that one.
We do have Toby Steinberger is available in Anchorage with the AG's office. He's available for questions if any members have questions. Any questions from any members? Any more questions for these two gentlemen? I just want to say it's such a pleasure to be able to work so closely and expediently with the governor's office. It's just a pleasure, and with our friend Commissioner Click Bishop. So if you please pass that on to him, that we are very happy, once we understood it, to move this bill forward swiftly. With that, Representative Holmes, you have a question?
More of a comment, Mr. Chairman. I believe your capable staff here is going to be passing out copies of the Senate version, the two bills that were wrapped into one, just so that everybody can track.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See, so this is widened. Looks like this is.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
I
believe that what the Senate version did was basically wrap what we had as House Bills 212 and 213 into one bill, and that it wrapped the Senate versions of those two bills into one piece of legislation. I believe that is that's what we have, rather than keeping them as standalones.
All right, we appreciate that clarification. Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wish to move House Bill number 213, version A, with zero fiscal note and individual recommendations from committee.
Without objection, House Bill 213 moves from committee. We will take the brief at ease. Gentlemen, thank you. We're back on the record. We've addressed all the business for today. We are, the committee is current, and we are. And we are going to take up, is that going to be through the Judiciary Committee?
It's actually through the Bush.
Through the Bush Caucus.
Because that's the only way I can get a calendar.
Okay. So at 3 p.m. there will be a meeting in this room with the Bush Caucus with Mr. Sniffen, the Consumer Affairs Attorney. We have a letter that is signed with myself as Chair Judiciary and Reggie Jewell, Representative Jewell, as the Bush Caucus Chair. And we are going to be talking to Mr. Sniffen and members of the Bush Caucus about monopolies and effective duopolies in rural Alaska that hopefully will lead to a report from the Attorney General that would be a companion to the AG's report on urban and retail gas pricing. And that meeting will be at 3 o'clock, and all members of the Judiciary Committee are certainly welcome, but attendance is not compulsory. At 20 minutes of 2, we're adjourned.